Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I am so grateful for you, the Organized 365 listener. I'm just so thankful that you spend time listening to these podcasts. And I'm really so thankful that I have been able to find the thing that I think I am best served to do, which is to break down big problems into small, manageable chunks so that you can be motivated to take action and empowered to take back your home, the organization, the mindful busyness that we find ourselves in day by day. Take ownership of that. Get your home organized so that you can live out your best life. And I'm super excited about sharing more stories about how I've been able to do that through decluttering, getting organized, and increasing my own productivity. And those of you that I'm meeting in real life that are doing it as well. Today, I want to introduce you to someone I met in California named Dr. Carmen Landrau. She is in Houston, Texas, and we started by talking about what's going on in Houston after the flooding and the devastation. You know how I am about these natural disasters. Well, it turns out that Dr. Landrau is from Puerto Rico, and she still has family members there. And I told you that I am overwhelmed by what's happening in that country. Well, I guess not country, but in that island, and how I can help. And through this conversation that we're going to have today, Dr. Landrau and I really talk about how we as women and entrepreneurs are able to do a lot. You're able to do a lot just by listening to this podcast and through the social media connections that you have. I'm just so thankful to be alive in a time where we can be friends across these airwaves, that we could build such a strong community and we haven't even met each other yet. So I'm so thankful for you, and I want you to hear how we can help those in Puerto Rico recover from Hurricane Maria. Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. Carmen, I am so excited to have you on the Organized 365 podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I am super excited to be here with you finally.
Yes. And this is like such a random podcast for Organized 365. Those of you that have been listening to the podcast know that I am obsessed when there is a natural disaster. So the fall of 2017, I've been obsessed a lot about a lot of different disasters. And I brought you a podcast a couple of months ago with a couple of my friends from Houston. And Carmen actually lives in Houston as well, correct?
That's correct.
Yes. But we are not going to talk about the flooding in Houston. We're actually going to talk about Puerto Rico today. And Carmen's actually a heart surgeon, correct?
I'm a cardiologist. I'm a heart doctor, not a surgeon.
Same thing. You guys know me in details. It all has something to do with the heart. So we met out in California at a conference, and I was like, what are you doing at this conference? Like, you're a heart, I thought, surgeon. Cardiologist, like, why are you here with all of these entrepreneurs? But you too are an entrepreneur, correct?
That's correct. I am actually a professional speaker. I've been doing professional speaking, I like to say for 15 years, but officially for the past year and a half. That's when I decided to make it as a business, because remarkably, I did not know you could have a career as a professional speaker. And working with my coach and other people, I am actually now I've developed my signature talk, and I help professional women, women in career, get to the next step in their careers and in life.
And this is what's so interesting, the conversations that we had out in California, and the more I get to know more about the Organized 365 community. When I interviewed Dawn on the podcast and she said she had goats, I thought she had two. And when she sold two goats, I thought we were down to no goats. And then I realized, no, she has 35. And what I'm finding is we as women today are multifaceted, multi-talented, multi-passionate, and multitaskers. I don't care if they say it doesn't exist. Women know how to do it. Men must say it doesn't exist. So we're moms, we're homeowners, we're professional businesswomen, we're best friends, we're daughters, we're all of these things. And you kind of help people really own that they are all of those things and they're worth it, right?
That's correct. You know, being in these male-dominated, extremely hierarchical career for the past 15 years, has been a great learning experience, but also has been a something that nothing prepares you for it. You just have to go with it, and you have to take the experience and make the best of it as you go along. And using that, that's how I've developed my professional speaking, my keynote talk. And I've, you know, it started as being at the hospital, and it wouldn't fail that a nurse, another doctor, a resident will stop me and say, hey, how do you do it? How can you be a cardiologist and a mom and a wife and take care of everything and have your own practice at the same time? How do you do it? And, you know, I started connecting the dots. And with that, I came to the conclusion that we all have the same problem. We are all women taking care of everybody, trying to have a career, trying to have it all, but nobody tells us how to do it. And on top of that, many of us are in careers that are male dominated. And I'm not saying anything wrong against men, but our problems or our way of thinking is basically different from them. So society puts us in a different spot than men, and the expectations are different. Well, that's why I've developed my signature talk and my coaching, and I like to help women get to the next step or at least figure it out along the way.
And the more I get to know those of you in the Organize 365 community, I have always worked from home except for 18 months where I went back into teaching and then I had to quit because I couldn't do it all. Like, I just couldn't do it. So I have such admiration for people who actually get dressed and leave their house to do their job. And I know a lot of you are in the audience. So Carmen, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you a couple questions about how you are doing it with your kids. You have twins that are 9 and a 7-year-old. So it's 3 kids, and you work in a hospital, so you can't really be like, oh, I'm going to come in half an hour later. Like, you don't have flex time. So what are some of the key things that you're doing this year? Just, you know, 2 or 3 things that you've decided, I'm going to do these things so I could do other things better. What? Give us some tips.
You know, first of all, I want to disclose that I don't have a perfect life.
Me either, by the way.
Right? But I believe in planning ahead, and I've been planning ahead ever since I got pregnant with the twins. And having children is the best thing that can happen to you, and at the same time, the most challenging thing. So, because they don't follow any timeline, any due date, they just do their kid thing. But you can train them, and they can learn. And with my kids, I learned very, very early on that I would give them specific instructions with not a long sentence, just, you know what, grab your bag, let's put it here. And now in the mornings, it's become to, okay, backpacks, binders, lunchbox, let's go. And they know it. And now in the morning, like, yeah, mom, we know, backpack, lunchbox, let's go. So they are able to do that. They know what they need to do in the morning. It doesn't mean that we never have a missed homework. It doesn't mean that we never have a late day, but it's less than being all frazzled in the morning. They are able to, because now they're 9 and 7, they're able to do their own breakfast. They're able to do their own, cereal and all that. If we want a heavier breakfast, I'll be the one taking care of that. But they're able to take care of their own things. And the other things, which is very important, when we come home from school, I developed a system, and I think you're going to be very happy.
Yay.
I have an accordion file, because probably you as a teacher can relate that kids bring a pile of paper every day to our homes. And I don't know why it's that, but hey, that's fine. So I developed a system where I would file their stuff, and I divided by months, because I honestly cannot be purging every day. But if I go from August till May, whatever they brought in August, we put it in there. Whatever needs to be signed, I sign it that day, sign their planners, get the homework, get it out. At the end of the month, I go, let's say August. Okay, we're going to start purging. I have 3 kids, so 3 files. This either we scan it, we toss it, we keep it. And at the end of the year, or maybe at the end of the semester sometimes, I go again through it. And I say, okay, do I really need to keep this paper? And why do I need a hard copy? Why can't I just scan it or toss it? And it makes it a lot easier than having papers all over the house.
I love that. I have never talked about a system like that. That is super cool. That would be in addition to the Sunday basket everyone's doing. That is a great idea. And what I love, what I'm hearing about what you're saying and what we tend to resist, especially if we do not work a 9-to-5 job, ladies, is we resist having these structured routines in our day because we figure, well, we're home, so it should be soft and it should be nice and it should be flexible. But actually, there's more freedom in structure than there is in too much of not a lot of routine. So even if you don't go to a 9-to-5 job, setting up a morning routine and after school routine, these really do provide anchoring and freedom for kids because they know what's expected of them and it gives you more time to do other things. So I also have to know, Carmen, what are you outsourcing? Like, you have to be outsourcing some stuff. What are you outsourcing? Give me ideas.
Yeah. I outsource housekeeping. I have a housekeeper. She comes once a week. I would love for her to be here every day, but it's what she can do. So once a week, and she's fantastic. So I don't have to worry about cleaning the house. The other thing I outsource is laundry, because with 3 kids and 2 working adults, the amounts of laundry are unbelievable. So I have someone who does the laundry. And we have a cleaners very near our home that they actually come and pick up your clothes. They take it, either they wash them and iron them or just press them, and they bring them back. So that helps a lot.
Nice.
And I'm actually now going to start outsourcing grocery shopping and buying stuff for the house, because, you know, those minutes that you spend at the supermarket, driving there, maybe in traffic, they eat up at the end of the week. You know, at the end of the week, you're exhausted. And then you're like, okay, where did time go? Why haven't I gotten anything done? And I don't have that luxury. I really need to have very good use of my time to make things happen.
I love it. I love how you're just taking charge of your life and saying, this is how it's going to get done. And this is what we are going to talk about now with Puerto Rico. As we had this conversation, it started with the natural disasters. I think I probably said something like, yes, there are fires in California, but I knew exactly how close they were going to come to where we were staying. And Betsy goes, yeah, I outsourced you worrying about where the fires were. I knew you would tell me if they were anywhere near we were going to be. And I brought up my desperation about Puerto Rico, that, you know, I had done this fundraiser for Houston, and I was really excited about what we were doing with the Avondale House. But as soon as I started that fundraiser, my husband said, don't give all of our money away. We want to help Puerto Rico. And I didn't even know where to give the money, and I was stuck. Like, I didn't know where to give it. And then I found out that your family was in Puerto Rico, and you had given substantially in a very tangible way to what was going on in Puerto Rico. And so I want to really have that conversation that we had there and then explain what the Organized 365 audience can do, but all of it from this lens of, you know, I said in a couple of podcasts ago, no one is coming to save us. Like, we have to organize our own houses. No one is coming to save you in your house. I think what you're saying in your message, in your speaking career, is no one's going to walk up to you and say, you know what, you're doing a great job. I think you deserve a raise. Like, you're going to have to ask for that raise. And we as women need to get more bold with our solutions to the problems that we see in the world and not wait for someone to ask us to fix them. Because if we look at the situation of Puerto Rico as a whole, clearly the government hasn't solved the problem. I'm not making that as a political statement. I'm just stating it as a fact. The problem has not gotten solved. And some of the solutions that we're seeing are coming from private companies and the private sector. And, you know, I almost think that's an evolution of how things are going to go with social media, with so many entrepreneurs, with so many of us doing our own thing. We also then have to take the social responsibility for helping other people when there is tragedy. Honest to goodness, with 5 natural disasters in the span of a couple months in the United States, plus 2 mass shootings, how can we expect that the federal government can do everything for us? If we want to, you know, have our own businesses and be independent women and have direction over our family, we should also have direction and help our fellow Americans in need. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with this conversation. So let's start with, first I'd like to talk about your family that is in Puerto Rico. You yourself were born in Puerto Rico. Just tell me about your childhood, how you came to the United States, and the family that's still there right now.
Well, you're right. My family's still there. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico. I did my medical school back in Puerto Rico, and I came here after I graduated in 2002. I actually married in Puerto Rico. My husband's also Puerto Rican. He had been here a few years, like maybe 2 or 3 years. We met back home. He came to do his residency. And when I finished medical school, we got married and I came. And, you know, my childhood was, to me, was normal. But then I'm starting to think it wasn't as normal as other people, because both my parents worked. And to me, it was very normal to have a working mom and a working dad. And I knew that you go to school, you go to college, and then you go to work. And there was never a question of me being a stay-at-home mom or having anybody giving me money to do. My mom took care of herself and us, of course, and my dad. They both did it. So to me, that was something that there was never an expectation of anybody helping me do anything. I came to Houston in 2002. After I got married, and I came to do my residency in internal medicine. I interviewed, and I love the program. I love the residents. They all look very happy. I like the environment as well, because Houston, being of course in the South, the climate, the weather is very similar. Not exactly like in Puerto Rico, but it's doable for me. And I love being here. The people, the patients, everyone. And then I knew that I wanted to be a cardiologist very early. I think when I was in college, I had already made the decision. And when I applied, I got accepted at the same program at the University of Texas in Houston. And then I did my cardiology fellowship. The senior year of my fellowship, I was asked to be chief cardiology fellow with another of my co-fellows, which is you're acting basically like a liaison between the faculty and the rest of the fellows. So it's kind of a higher degree, if we want to say it that way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So, you know, I've always, when I was in training, actually, it's important to say, I was assigned, you're assigned a mentor, and I was assigned to the director of the program. So I like to say there was no pressure there for me to come out. And the good thing is that he believed in prevention. He believed in the patient. He believed in the doctor-patient relationship. Never lose that connection. And he always had a way of helping people no matter what. And I was always drawn to that. I'm not saying I'm doing it because of him, but it had a tremendous impact on me because it's something that I've always believed. And now that we're seeing all these natural disasters and seeing all these things that are happening, my heart goes out to everyone. How can I help? How can I lend a hand? How can I make the situation better? Right now, my mom still lives in Puerto Rico. My dad passed a few years ago, but my sisters are there. Most of my family's there, basically, uncles and aunts. And they're doing relatively well. My mom just got power maybe 2 days ago. They have water, they have food, but the rest of the island, over 90% of the island, probably, of course, they don't have any power. And there's tons of people who don't have access to clean water. Maybe they don't have enough meals for every day. And they don't have medications as well because of the destruction that the hurricane caused. So that's what we're, yeah.
We are recording this on November 7th, and this podcast is going to air on the day after Thanksgiving. So these statistics that you're hearing are a couple of weeks old, but still well after Hurricane Maria. I mean, what are we, 2 months in now?
The hurricane was about August 20.
Yeah, so we're over 8 weeks in.
Yeah.
So we're 2 months in. Okay, so now I am going to tell you how naive I am. I'm a typical Midwestern American person who gets their information from the media. So I know kind of stuff about the United States, not the states that aren't reported well. Like, I don't know anything about the Dakotas or Montana, but I know about Florida because I go there, or California. And when we were in California, I met someone from Israel and someone from the UK, and you were there too. And we had a nice laugh one night about all of our stereotypes about all the different countries, because we all have them. So when I thought about Puerto Rico, I'm thinking, you know, small Caribbean island. Like, I've been to like St. John's, I think it is, which is the size of a postage stamp. And so I'm like, okay, the whole power grid is down. Let's just move the people off of the island. That's what they did in Barbuda. They just moved everyone off of the island. I'm like, great, let's just move them all off. And then I read another article that said, if Puerto Rico were to become a state, and I'm not going to get into the politics of that, but basically it would change the whole electorate because they would get, like, I think it's 5 electoral college votes.
Yeah.
Five or seven, like, not small, like a lot of the states in the United States don't get that many electoral college votes. So it is a significant population. So number one, my idea of send a few ships and move everyone off of the island, A, not going to work logistically, but B, you know, you and I talked about that. They don't want to go. Like,
yeah,
they don't want to leave. Not everybody wants to leave their country, even if the roads are washed out and there's no electricity and you don't have potable water. I'm still staying. So they don't want to leave. So that's not an option. Plus, it's more people than I realized. One of the frustrations I have getting my information from the media is that there has been this hospital boat right off of the coast of Puerto Rico for now months, and it's not full. Like, we have people that are in the hospitals that are running the hospitals on generators. I did a little bit more research into the people of Puerto Rico, and it is the highest amount of people on dialysis. Like, it's just as a population, they need a lot of dialysis. I think up to 25% possibly. Does that seem about right? Yeah. And so I did not, again, I don't know medical stuff. So I'm like, oh, dialysis, you know, you do that every once in a while. No. You have to do it for, you know, whatever it's 3 times a week or 4 times a week. And it's like 12 hours. It's not a short amount of time. And so what I read is happening that instead of a 12-hour dialysis, they're getting a 7-hour dialysis. Instead of 3 days a week, they're only getting it 2 days a week. And basically what dialysis does is it does what your body, your kidneys, right? Or your liver?
Right, your kidneys. You're basically having a machine take over the function of your kidneys.
So you have kidneys that are not functioning well. And instead of giving the external kidney, which is the dialysis, basically you're making kidneys that are not functioning well get not better. So it has to be increasing the damage to the kidneys. If they aren't getting fully cleaned 3 times a week, they're getting partially cleaned 2x a week. Like, the toxins are still building up in the body, right? Like, this is not good. So I read another article. I read too many articles. I read another article, and it said, you know, officially the death toll is at somewhere around 50, but they're estimating it's really more like 500 because people are dying of quote unquote natural causes. But those natural causes are because there's not electricity or there's not potable water, or we didn't get to them in time because the infrastructure is down. So suffice it to say, it is a lot of people who don't want to go anywhere, and they can't get to the things that are being provided, like this gorgeous medical ship that's there that nobody can actually get to. I'm so frustrated that in today's day and age where we can instantly see what the problem is, we can't fix it. So we're out in California. We ate many meals together because I just wanted to discuss my frustration. And one of the things I said was, come on, like, we know how to get MREs, you know, ready-made meals to the military. We airdrop it to them when they're in the middle of a war. Why can we not just fly helicopters over these areas and drop pallets of water, drop pallets of food? Trust me, the Puerto Rican people are going to figure out how to get the packaging off of that and distribute it themselves. Why can't we just be doing some of these medical airlifts into the different places they need to be? That was one thing. And then I have another idea about how entrepreneurs can help. But why don't you tell me the story you told me about how you, as a medical professional, have been able to provide much needed medical supplies to Puerto Rico, how you guys got around the system?
Well, we actually, and this is funny because this was started by one person, one doctor in Florida. She started a Facebook group. And she was just frustrated. She's Puerto Rican, and she was just frustrated with the situation, not being able to do anything. She got tired of crying, and then decided to create a Facebook group. And this was for female doctors who are Puerto Rican to see how we could help. And it evolved to people actually wanted to be included in that group. And now they have female doctors, male physicians, other people who want to help. On top of that, someone contacted me from that group and told me that there was this other doctor trying to help, and word of mouth, and when I tell word of mouth, is in a matter of hours, as in 24, 48 hours, we get in touch with another set of doctors who are the BREAC, the Baton Rouge Emergency Aid Coalition. Well, this is a group of volunteers that organized last year. They were helping some flooding that occurred in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And they help areas where disasters have happened. They help during Harvey, they help during Irma. And when Maria happened to Puerto Rico, they decided that they wanted to help. So one connection led to another. We get in touch, and next thing you know, they have medications that they had collected from other shelters. Because in Houston, where I live, I'm very close to the medical center. And very close to us is the Energy Stadium. Right next to the Astrodome, they built the Energy Stadium. The Energy Stadium was used during Harvey to as a shelter for people who lost their homes during the flooding. Those people were already relocated and the shelter was going to close. Well, one of the doctors, she took it upon herself to try to capture all those medications, medical supplies, so that they wouldn't go to waste. Because once, you know, once they're used or once they're not used, but actually the shelter closes, they don't have anywhere else to put all those supplies. So someone sent a message on Facebook, hey, on this day, we're going to be quantifying and boxing everything to be shipped to Puerto Rico. And a group of physicians, we were about 22 that day, met, started sorting, tallying, and boxing all these medical supplies. And the interesting thing is that all these supplies are only being able to be obtained by licensed professionals. This is not just over-the-counter medications that anyone can obtain. So this was very important. We had equipment for surgical equipment. We had nebulizers, asthma medications, insulin, you name it, antibiotics. And the other problem we had is that we didn't have a plane. So how can we get a plane? Well, again, through word of mouth and people who wanted to help and social media, people started donating their planes. People who own planes or were, even the city of Houston at some point, we got in touch with them. And this is funny to say that through a common friend on social media, we found the hub for the city of Houston who was in charge of actually planning and helping us find a plane with United Airlines, a much bigger plane that would carry about 50,000 pounds of medications or supplies in order to be sent. And to this day, I can tell you that I know of at least 9 planes that have come out of Houston. I am thinking that the total number of planes that have come out of Florida and other states, including Texas, is in the 20s or 30s. And this is people who are donating their charter planes, people like United Airlines who someone contacted the city of Houston and United, and they say, well, here's a plane and here's a plane. People have donated their trucks. They have donated their time. And the beauty of this is that this is all volunteer organized. Doctors, for example, in my case, doctors in Houston will talk with doctors in Puerto Rico. The people in Puerto Rico say, hey, this is my list of what I need. And we will have this shipment from Houston to Puerto Rico. At the airport, there will be people in Puerto Rico from the hospital, the doctors in the hospital, who will take all those supplies and medications and then distribute it either in the hospital, the shelters, the clinics, wherever there's need. So we've sent thousands of pounds. And I have to quantify it in pounds because there's no other way of quantifying it, of wheelchairs, medications, antibiotics, you name it. Medications for anything, for the heart, for the kidneys, for your thyroid, whatever is needed, we're trying to send it. The hospitals have also joined us because they see us working. And when you're a doctor who works in the hospital and somebody hears you, in my own case, I had the experience that I contacted a doctor in Puerto Rico. She's a specialist in wound care. And as you know, whenever there's a natural disaster, not only you will have people with new wounds, but those who already have wounds and ulcers, those will get complicated because of lack of hygiene. So she says, you know, I've already given everything I have from my office to these patients. If anybody can help me get wound care supplies, I could help the patients. So what did I do? I spoke with my friend, who's another doctor in wound care, and he took me to the wound care department and the nurses, who all they do is give love to people. They said, they grabbed me by the hand, don't worry, and they started packing boxes and bags of wound care supplies, gauzes, the washes for the wounds, anything that wouldn't need water, that wouldn't need refrigeration. And I've sent already 3 boxes. I got a couple more huge boxes in my home that I still need to send. And they've already reached the patients. And that's the beauty of it. No politics, no red tape. From one doctor to another, here for the people.
It's just, I have tears in my eyes as you're talking, because one of the things you said to me, which I did not understand, is that you just expressed, is that some of these things have to be obtained by a physician. And there's a chain of custody where it has to go on a certain plane. And when that plane lands, another doctor has to meet that plane and sign off. And then they have to get that to where it needs to go. So it's not like you're just shipping this to your mom and she's giving it to her neighbors. This is a elaborate process that has been coordinated almost entirely through social media. And that's the responsibility that we have now. If we have the ability to find out need instantaneously, then we also have the resources at our disposal to help instantaneously and pull our friends together. And one of my initiatives in 2018 on the Organize 365 podcast is going to be to really, as we're decluttering, as we're getting organized, and as we're living out our true purpose, I want us to also think about what makes us uniquely us and how can we impact the community around us so we can all help. So when we did the fundraiser for Houston and we funneled all that money through the Avondale House, which at the end of the year, I'll give us the total, but we're over $8,000. Like it's a crazy amount of money. I love when I was in the newsletter and they said, this lady in Ohio, they're like, they have no idea how I found them. But it's just so fun. I love to surprise people. So that's super, super fun that we are collectively surprising this school in Houston. But, you know, just hearing Carmen's story about how she's doing this, you might be thinking, oh, I'm a physician in North Dakota. Lisa, I'll tell you all about what North Dakota is like. And we have supplies that we could send. So I'm going to send you to this specific website and you can find all of these links at organize365.com/204. But the website that Carmen's been talking about is BRBoyRainbow.eac. So Earth, Apple, Carrot. I'm terrible at those. BREAC225.org. This website is awesome. Last time I had you come to the Organize 365 website and I gave you a product. So you made a donation, but you got a product. That's not going to happen this time. I'm just going to tell you where you can go. And when you go to this website, there are a couple of cool things you're going to find. One, you're going to be able to read the story about the organization and how they started with this Louisiana flood a year ago. Two, they have so many links to stories and Carmen's stories on there about how they've gotten the airplane and they've sent the medical supplies over and other things that they've been doing. There's a lot of links of stories there. And then also, this is the coolest part. If you're like, oh, I would love to help, but I don't know how I would help this specific organization. Well, they have an Amazon wish list. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I click on this thing and you go to Amazon and it's like a list of everything they want and how many they have and they want flashlights and lanterns. And so you could just go and you could pick off their wish list and that could be your charitable gift that you give this holiday is things to people in Puerto Rico. So there's always something we can do. Almost always, cash works. Like if you have cash to donate, that is always going to work, but we don't always have cash, which is why I want to give these other opportunities for you to donate supplies. If you are a medical physician, you may not have thought, oh, I did not realize that there's a way for me to use my medical license and my medical connections to make a difference. Also, a lot of us, you mentioned that your father passed a few years ago. My father did as well. And when hospice comes here in the US, they provide so many resources. And then when your loved one passes away, they'll take the hospital bed back and they'll take the oxygen machine back. But there's a lot of things that they don't take back because once they've dispensed them to you and your loved one, they no longer take them back for the next person. So you have bed chucks and medication is left over. Now, as a regular person, I couldn't do anything with that medication. Now, you guys are creative. Figure it out. But there's a lot of things that you have at your discretion then that you don't know what to do with. And I would always suggest that you find a way to donate those to someone in your area, or if there's been a natural disaster, they always need all of those medical type supplies. Those are great things to donate. Have you thought of something else you want to share, Carmen?
You know, I just have to, first of all, I want to say thank you so much that you are actually taking the initiative of having me do this because it means a lot. It means when you have survived a natural disaster or when you've been in a situation where something unexpected as this happens, and of course, suddenly, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a position where you never planned, you need to either act and get over it, or your whole life goes downhill. I know there's a lot of people out there who still are trying to figure out what happened. There's a lot of mental illness right now because there's people who lost everything and they don't know how to cope. And there's been a few suicides because of this, because losing everything, you know, and not being able to provide for your kids. So that's why we're doing it. I think that the work of the volunteers has been tremendous. And I am more than amazed at people who've come to me just like you and say, how can I help? Because of course I am from Puerto Rico. I can see why I do it. And of course I'll do it. And, you know, even if it wasn't Puerto Rico, I would still help because it's in my nature. But then other people who come to me and say, just like you said, you know, you're telling about the BRAAC and the Amazon account. I just have to tell people, well, why would you do this? And all the time, no one has a specific answer. And I think that is the best answer one can expect. I think that when you do things out of the genuine goodness of your heart, not because somebody asks you, not because you feel that it's an obligation, but because you just want to do it, I think that has more meaning, and it's more appreciated than anything. So people out there, your audience here who want to help, I am telling you from the bottom of my heart, thank you. This is not something that's going to be solved in the next few months. I think this is going to take years to get better. But we're just trying to move forward, and we're trying to make the best we can every day. So the people in Puerto Rico, I'd like to say, you know what, hanging there, we know how to survive. We know how to do this. If you're still alive and you've overcome this, the sky's the limit. Don't let this be just your last day. This is the first day of whatever you want to call it. If it's the next life, the next chapter, this is going to be the first day, and move forward. This is a great opportunity for people to be entrepreneurs. There's a great opportunity for people to reinvent themselves and reinvent their jobs or their businesses. So take advantage of the situation and let's try to make the best of it as much as you can.
Yeah, I want to hit on two things you just talked about there. The people have lost everything. And I think that is the thing that impacted me the most this fall as I was watching these back-to-back-to-back natural disasters. It wasn't like, oh, a couple of houses got flooded or one neighborhood got taken out by a tornado. I mean, the whole country is without power, 90% of it, 8 weeks later. Like, they've lost all power. They've lost everything. The people who were in the hurricane, Harvey, they lost their whole houses. Or Maria that went through Florida lost everything. Or the fires that went through California. I mean, whole neighborhoods are totally leveled. There's nothing left. And in every single instance, there is nothing left. I've never seen so many natural disasters where complete towns and cities are just leveled to nothing. And when your neighbors are all leveled to nothing and you're leveled to nothing, like, it's hard to help people when you're trying to help yourself. And here we're looking at an entire island that are giving and helping each other, but they need help. I mean, they need desperate help. It's not like, I read another article and they talked about why this electricity problem is such a big deal in Puerto Rico. Well, first of all, they had a bad electric grid to begin with. We don't need to get into the politics of that. But when you don't have power in Florida, when you didn't have power in Texas, well, all of the power truck things with the little dump, you know, the little bucket on the back, from all of the states start headed towards those cities. And so you're inundated with contractors and people who can help get the electricity back. Well, you have to be able to get to the island. Like, you have to be able to get to Puerto Rico. And then once you get there, they haven't cleared the roads. And it's the roadblocks to helping the Puerto Ricans are so many and so high. That is why it's taken so long for aid to get there. But what I love about this story is, yeah, you put a woman in front of it and we're just going to, I mean, people need medicine. We are going to figure out how to get them medicine. This is what we do, ladies. This is what we do the best. Somebody is hurting. We go in there and we fix it. And the second thing that you mentioned was, this is going to last a long time. It's going to last a long time in California, in Florida, in Texas, in Puerto Rico, in Mexico. We see these on a news cycle and they're gone. Like, the mass shootings that happen are gone within days. Those cities are rocked for years from events like that. And we're getting so used to what is the latest thing that's happened today? What's the worst thing that's happened today that the news is going to cover? Oh my gosh, that's a tragedy. We should do something about that. Two days later, oh my gosh, that's a tragedy. We should do something about that. And in all of these natural disasters, other than the fires, but for sure for the hurricanes, the lead up to the actual event was longer than the coverage that followed after the devastation. Oh my gosh, it might hit this part of Florida. Oh no, it's going to move to this part. Okay, everybody go here. And there's, you know, weeks of coverage about this. And then the devastation comes through and basically we don't have the keys anymore. And we're like, yep, okay, on to the next thing. Okay, but now is when we need the help. Now is when we need you to tell us what the people need. So then I'm on Twitter, and I'm not good at Twitter, but I found out about the California fires through Twitter because nobody was covering it on national news in Ohio. So how bad I am. I'm watching local news in California about the fires to find out what's going on about the fires. Like, I get a little obsessive about this, but we can't help if we don't know how to help or where the problem is or how to get information there. So this Puerto Rico issue is not going away. Now, I want to speak to the entrepreneurs in the group. I had somebody review my podcast on a YouTube video, and she said, okay, this podcast is a little geeky, naming the Organized 365. So apparently you guys already know I'm geeky, then I research too much. My husband's walking around the house going, no, this podcast is a little geeky. I'm like, knock it off.
That's when I get in trouble.
She's a little geeky. But when I think about this, and when we were talking in California, I said, you know, there is an opportunity here, not just for women to help other women, but business owners. There's some statistic, it's either 50% or 70% of the Fortune 500 is not even going to exist in 10 years. It's not even going to exist. Those companies are going away. Look at what's happening to the big companies around you. They have lost touch with the consumer. They don't know what's going on. Entrepreneurship is growing. Startups are growing. We can get our message out faster and faster to people. And what I said was, at that time, Google was not flying their little balloons over Puerto Rico like they are now. But I said, Verizon has missed the mark. Because Verizon should have already been in there. They could drop little, I don't even care. They have all the money. They are the biggest cell phone provider in the U.S. They could have easily dropped down little portable towers. You know, they did it in Rio for the Olympics. Whatever we did in Rio for the Olympics could have been done in Puerto Rico by now. When we come together for the Olympics, everything that we created there was created from nothing in a matter of months. If we put all of that effort towards Puerto Rico, we could fix the problem. And so the onus is on the companies to fix the problem. I love, who's the Tesla guy? I forget his name.
Elon Musk.
Okay, Elon Musk. He was within. Yes, geekier than me. I think maybe we should rename the Organized 365 podcast geeky. But anyway, he was on the phone with the governor of Puerto Rico within week number two saying, I can rebuild this electrical grid faster and better. And I read another book, I can't remember which one, but they talked about how as third world countries, I'm not saying Puerto Rico is a third world country, but as these countries develop technology, we in the US have made incremental technology gains. So we went from a corded phone to a cordless phone, to a cellular phone with a big battery pack, to a cellular phone with a little battery pack that was a flip phone. Like, we make all these incremental progresses. New countries that are getting like Wi-Fi and cellular service are jumping straight to the iPhone. Like, they didn't say, okay, well, we're new to the cell phone market, so we'll get the 1980s big battery pack phone. Same thing with electricity. So building an electrical grid, I don't remember what book I read it in, but laying the foundation of the electrical grid in some third world country they were talking about is not even feasible because of the land. It would be too hard to run that electrical grid. So they actually will have like these little portable electric stations. I don't understand science. And that the whatever, electricity will beam all over the place. So when Elon Musk was saying he could do this differently, I was like, yes, because they don't have to, you don't have to rebuild the entire electrical grid in Puerto Rico. You could go to the newest technology and put that in Puerto Rico. We could solve this project faster. So anyway, just a little thought out there. Any of you engineering electrical people, you guys can work on that. Let me know. We'll have you on the podcast. We'll get that going.
Oh, there is so much business for anyone, you know, if you think about it. Just like we said, they lost everything. So this is just now a blank stage for
yes.
people. The electricity, of course, Elon Musk took advantage of that. And I hope he actually can make it happen because it'll benefit everybody. And if he becomes even more millionaire doing that, fantastic. More power to
Agreed.
Him. The other thing, people who have water filters or who could develop a system of filtering water, making it potable for the homes, hospitals, for the businesses, that would be tremendous help. Again, if you're an entrepreneur, do that. This is where you need to be actually taking advantage of it. Not taking advantage of the people. Take advantage of the situation to
right.
help the people and help yourself. Just like you mentioned, you know, just moving a truck. You know, those trucks with the big baskets where they change the cables up in the pool.
Oh, good. You don't know what they are either. Yes.
I don't know what they're called. I know they have a big basket. The electrical company trucks, we have those, but they're not enough. To ship them, either you ship them by boat
right.
or by plane. How many can you fit in a plane? I have no idea. I don't think there's too many.
And so, are the roads even fixed yet for them to drive down them? No, the roads are not fixed. Hello. So,
exactly. Just like you said, you know, that's a great idea. If Verizon could do that or any other company, AT&T, whoever, just do it and help us. Help Puerto Rico, that would be tremendous for everyone. Because now you don't depend on an old system that needs to be maintained, that's never been maintained. You don't depend on a system that's going to be actually at the mercy of the next either natural disaster or the next bureaucracy, red tape, policy that's going to happen. It's going to be a system that actually can evolve. And once it's obsolete, we move on to the new thing, which is exactly what's happening with entrepreneurship and technology and social media.
And if you really, I'm a big picture person, you guys, you don't hear it a lot on the podcast, but when you even think bigger picture, companies are spending millions of dollars on Super Bowl ads and magazine ads and all of these different ads. We're not watching TV ads anymore. We're watching Netflix. We're you know, what is this thing I have? TiVoing it and we're going through the commercials. We're not even looking at magazines anymore. Big corporations have a lot of money that they have in their advertising fund. And I know they don't know where to put it because they're not getting the ROI on advertising that they used to. Find a problem and solve it. That's what an entrepreneur does. We find a problem and we solve it. There are so many problems in Puerto Rico. Pick one, solve it, put all of your advertising money into that. And then the people, us on social media, will naturally thank you, and that will be your advertising. So take your advertising money, General Electric, and go over to Puerto Rico and fix it, because that is the best. First of all, you know, like for a company like GE, that is a great motto for them. That is what the company was founded on. But these companies have gotten so big, and everything with Puerto Rico is so political. You look at a company like GE that's gigantic like that, they have political ramifications for everything they do and layers of people that they have to get through, which is why what we're doing on this podcast and person to person is moving so much faster. So I'm just challenging those of you in the audience to go ahead and do more and be more, and don't be afraid to ask the question or put it out on social media. When you said that you were from Puerto Rico, I think I screamed and jumped up and down because Greg said, find a way for us to help Puerto Rico. And so now I could check that off my box. I have found a way for us to help Puerto Rico. I'm just going to send a check. But the rest of you guys, I just know the good things are going to come out of this podcast. And just in general, us looking at our stuff differently, looking at the resources we have differently, connecting differently, and really helping people. So thank you so much, Carmen, for being on the podcast.
No, thank you. I truly appreciate it. I think there's a lot of significance in this program, actually, this episode being published in Thanksgiving, near Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I don't think things just happen because of a coincidence. There's always a reason why things happen. And there's always a reason why we meet people. Whether we know mm-hmm. it in the beginning or not, there's always a reason behind it. And I truly appreciate that I met you. And I truly appreciate what you're doing and your audience. Even a dollar would help. Even a pack of batteries would help. So if you can find it in your heart and help, hey, please do it. You'll get your reward magnified in the future. I truly believe in that.
Yeah, my dad always said, what goes around comes around. And I truly believe that. Treat others as you expect to be treated. And even though I've never been through a natural disaster, and hopefully living in Cincinnati, I never will be. I say to my husband, we're never moving to Florida. You're lucky you get me to vacation there. Like, no, we're staying in Ohio where we don't have as many of these natural disaster things. But I'm happy to help anyone else who needs help because, you know, it could be me tomorrow. You just never know. You just never know. So if you have the ability to help, help. So Carmen, I want to be able to send people to your website as well. It is www.drlandrau.com and that's spelled DRALANDRAU.com. And that will also be in the show notes at organize365.com/204, or you could just click on the podcast artwork and you'll be able to see those show notes. Any last things that you want to say, Carmen?
Yeah. Thank you for, mentioning my website, drlandrau.com. You're going to find that my website, if you're looking for a cardiologist, yes, I'm a cardiologist, but it's more directed to my professional keynote speaking business. As a keynote speaker, I work with career women. I try to help them recognize their talents and voice their achievements so that they can get to the next step in their careers and in life. So it's another way of helping because as women, we have a lot of trouble voicing who we are, what we deserve. And then we complain that we don't get what we need to get, right? So that's one thing I'm trying to do. And in my website, you know, through my blog and my coaching that I do with my clients, I try to help women get to the next step, whether it's in their careers or it's in their personal life. And thank you for promoting my website.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you so much for giving us your time. I have really enjoyed getting to know you. I look forward to our friendship growing, and I cannot wait to hear how your family is doing in Puerto Rico and how we as Americans can all rally together. Puerto Ricans are American people. How we can all rally together and really take care of our fellow man and the awesome success stories that will come out of this, I'm excited to hear for the country of Puerto Rico because I know that they will do what it requires to be successful, to come out of this. And I'm looking forward to reading those stories as much as I've been reading the stories about all of the tragedy that has been happening so far.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
Thanks.
I mentioned in this podcast that I am a forward big picture thinker, and I really do hold back some of the big picture dreams I have for my own life and for where I see your life going as you get more organized, and just the impact that even one person can make on the world. And the faster we move through this technological revolution where we really, you know, as individual people with a cell phone, like if you have a smartphone, you have so much power in that little phone. You're listening to me right now. You could connect to your family members. You can find out in these natural disasters or when tragedy strikes, you can connect with your family pretty much instantaneously. And we could follow all of our friends as well. Like I have a friend that at the time of this recording is in the desert and she's trying to recover from what she thinks is a mold toxicity in her body. How cool is that? And I'm able to follow along on her journey and provide motivation and encouragement and listen to her as she goes through this, really in isolation, this thing that she's doing in the desert. But through social media, I can watch that. Another friend I have is doing Facebook Lives on Wednesday nights after she watched me do Facebook Lives. She's my big in my sorority from college. Sean does Facebook Lives on Wednesday night in her pajamas, and they are so engaging and entertaining. Like, I get sucked in and I start watching them. And she said it's because she watched me do it. Now she knows that she can do it. Like, it is amazing how much impact we can have on the people around us just through social media. So I want to thank you again. I'm just so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for this relationship that we have. I love being on this organizational journey with you. And I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. Even if you're not in the United States, you could celebrate Thanksgiving with me this weekend. And you guys have a great week.